The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
So yesterday, everybody spent their day talking about Roseanne Barr, and, you know, she took the headlines, and nobody really paid attention to, the fact that the global economy is teetering on the brink. Now, it's amazing to me how none of this is making any news on any side. Everybody is just going along like everything's going to be okay. And I don't know. I mean, I have tried to, you know, try to ignore it and just been like, okay, you know, maybe everything's going to be okay. Yeah, I got some bad news for you. That ain't happening. The Dow closed out yesterday, falling over 1.5% at nearly 400 points in the hole. There's a couple of reasons for this, and they're kind of important. But it marked the third straight day of trading losses for both the Dow and the S&P 500. There was also something else kind of disturbing. There was a run on the nation's largest banks that happened all day yesterday. Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, the Bank of America. They all lost more than 3%. Now, that's kind of worth mentioning, don't you think? Is it at least interesting in passing that nobody is talking about this? You have to ask yourself, why? What is causing the turmoil? Ah, yeah. This may be why nobody wants to talk about it. Again, something you're not going to hear any of the mainstream media talking about today. But the global debt has now reached catastrophic record numbers. Global debt, all the money that everybody owes, is now at $164 trillion and rising. It's just kind of an insane number. I mean, sure, it sounds like a lot. Remember when $100 trillion was real money? $164 trillion is 225% of global GDP. So all of the money that all of us make for the entire in the entire world, 225% of that. You see, the problem is that the global governments of the world, they never really recovered from 2008 and the financial crisis. All they did was start to leverage the farm, borrow money, and then print money. The world is now 12% of GDP deeper in debt than it was at the peak debt cycle during the financial crisis of 2009. Remember when we said, wait, we all have to... It's now worse. And guess who the hardest hit is? Oh, this is going to make you feel good, because it's not us. For once, it's not us. It's the people we're borrowing money from. The hardest hit since 2008 is China. China has been spending themselves into oblivion trying to compensate. Since the financial crisis, listen to this. China accounts for 3/4 of the world's debt increase. Let me say that again. China is responsible for 3/4 of the debt increase. But Japan and the United States are right there with them. Now, here's the good news. That's just the three top economies in the entire world desperately kicking the can down the road and hoping that no one is noticing that the sky is falling. Now, what happened yesterday? Well, the third largest economy in Europe, it is one of the three legs of the stool of the Eurozone and of the European market. Italy is on the brink of default. There's currently a political power struggle going on that may decide the fate over Italy's future in the EU, which will decide the fate of the EU itself. On top of that, Italy has one of the largest national debts in the world and an unemployment rate of over 11%. Its economy is now worse off than it was before 2007. So what did the Italians do? Well, they did what everybody else did. They decided that they were going to borrow and spend their way out of the financial crisis, but they never recovered. Nobody really has. They now have a mountain of debt that they have to pay back in U.S. dollars. Guess who they owe most of it to? Germany. And now they're starting to get pissed at the Germans, and the Germans want their money back. Oh, let me tell you, nothing goes wrong when the Germans get pissed. The problem is now that as of yesterday afternoon, the euro fell below $1.16 to the dollar. In fact, the dollar is surging, which makes all of those Italian loans more and more expensive. Default now is a real concern. And if that happens, economic contagion is going to spread on its way to a very large meltdown, larger than we saw in 2008. Why? Because we didn't fix anything. All of this is happening, and yet we in America still refuse to cut our spending. Now, can you imagine how much worse all of this will get if somebody like Bernie Sanders becomes president? Or we just keep electing Republicans who don't care enough about it either. Spending is already at record levels, but this new wave of Democratic socialists that want free health care, college tuition, and a higher minimum wage, the kooks in Seattle, if they get what they want, the economic ramifications are going to make 2008 look like a child's playdate. Good morning, everybody.
It's Wednesday, May 30th. Hey. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I finally last week convinced my wife to sell the house. Finally convinced her last week. Sell the house. I've been saying this for 2 years. And I'm glad 2 years ago she didn't listen to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't ever listen to your advice in these areas.
Everything is in Texas, everything is expected in the next year to go up about 2%. And I'm like, I'll lose the 2%. I'll go ahead and lose the 2%. I don't know how much longer this is going to last. And I've been talking about downsizing, you know, my life and everything else for quite some time. It is coming. Are you following what's really happening in China at all, Stu?
I try not to.
Okay.
As much as possible.
All right. Well, I mean, let's just talk about this now.
Example number one, by the way, your last monologue. Like, it's just depressing. I want to throw myself out of the tallest tower I can find.
It is why we must break our addiction to outrage. We have to do it. There are two forces that are coming our way that are unstoppable. And unless we hold on to each other, we're not going to make it. The two forces that are coming, the economic force of just everybody spending, and it's the entire West. The West is on the verge of catastrophic collapse. The second force is AI and robotics. It's going to change how people work. It's going to change how many people work. And it's not going to change. It's going to happen. And if we don't deal with these things right now, if we don't talk about it and we don't come back together, do you know what a totalitarian movement is underfoot now? Can you imagine how bad things will get? Imagine, look how bad things are in Great Britain right now, where they're just offing kids and nobody cares, where they're just scooping people up. And within 24 hours, you've already been tried and you're in prison for 13 months. What? And there's a total blackout. Nobody can talk about it. Imagine what the states will do. Capital S, not small s. What will the states all around the world do? I will tell you, they are going to go more and more 1984, like England is. And what is happening in China is terrifying. There is a guy who is in Europe who, there's rumors going around that China is just scooping up some of its citizens and putting them in re-education camps. they consider re-education to go where you're forced to study Chinese history, you know, write personal reflections and sing songs like, you know, without the Communist Party, there is no new China. Many people are tortured and beaten. You're not allowed to go home. This is just re-education. And people are dragged away from their loved ones overseas or there at home. And the number that they think since April of 2017, the number of people that have been taken off to a gulag in China is about 1 million people. 1 million. There's this guy named Adrian Zenz. He's a social researcher at the European School of Culture and Theology. And what he did is to try to get a handle on how many people are just being taken off to these re-education camps, is he pored over the job ads and the government bids to find out what the government, is the government building any new re-education camps? Since 2016, he has found that China has government bids to construct or upgrade 73 facilities in one region that he says, despite their various names, appear as though they are going to operate wholly or in at least part as a re-education center. Re-education centers are disguised as vocational training hubs, and that's how they were describing them in these bids, but they betray their hidden purposes through the details of what they're looking to do. For instance, the facilities all required guard rooms, video surveillance, security fences, police equipment, police living quarters, handheld inspection devices, steel-reinforced concrete walls, and iron chains. Many of these facilities are heavily secured, not to keep intruders out, but to keep those inside under tight surveillance. 20 bids listed new or upgraded monitoring or video surveillance. One wanted 122 cameras to cover the whole facility without leaving any inside dead angles. One center required security nets, a renovation of a guard room, and four watchtowers. Another one submitted just this April requested an 86,000 square foot underground facility. I'm not saying that China is becoming 1984. It's just that I'm saying that they are becoming the government in 1984. We now know that they are putting people on a social media menu scorecard, where what you say, what you do will tell you where you can shop, where you can travel, how you can travel. If your kids even go to school, the guy who released this, his kids were taken out of school. He's gone to jail. I mean, it's frightening.
This is from Business Insider. It's not from UFOshaveLanded.net.
No.
I mean, it sounds like a crazy conspiracy theory, but, I mean, it does seem to be actually happening, at least at some level. Now, they don't confirm the exact number of 1 million.
No, they're saying,
there's some speculation in that number.
They're saying that since 2017, it may be as low as 250,000 and could be over 1 million. Okay, well, Jesus, if it's 250,000 people that are just going into an underground re-education camp, that's kind of bad.
That's a story. It's going to rise to the level of a news story.
Yeah, but it's not.
Yeah.
Have you noticed? There's another story that I found, again, from Business Insider. U.S. pilot allegedly kidnapped and tried to deport a student back to China. And it points to a much larger trend. Now, I'm going to play some audio for you. This is the pilot of a California flight school, along with his assistant, allegedly tried to kidnap and deport a Chinese student. Now, this student, when they came in, he just hit record on his iPhone. And so we now have the audio of this. I want you to listen to this and see if you can figure out what the heck is going on here.
Speak English, please. please. Can you speak English? If you cannot speak English, you are not going to be stay here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I must receive a document from
you. No, you don't have that right to demand that. You are in our custody.
Do you understand what in my custody means? Do you understand? It means I will forcibly remove
my mother.
I don't care. Matter. Shut up. Listen to me. You're in custody right now. Do you know what that means? I will forcibly remove your ass from here. If you want the police to come with guns, I got you on that. All right? Your ass is leaving now. Let's go. Think I'm playing? Hey, listen to me. I've got to support. You're leaving now. All right? I'm with you. Let's go. Boy, you understand?
Sir, to me.
What did you say?
Sir, to me.
Your ass is getting on a plane right now. I'll break your arm. You better believe I'm threatening you. And the United States government needs you out of this country right now. You understand?
You're here illegal. You know that.
Do you understand what's happening here?
If you don't go with us, you go to jail.
You're going to jail if you don't go with me.
It's not unfair.
Mother, you're going right now. Get you got 5 minutes. Do you understand me?
If I don't go, you will kill me.
If you don't go, I'm forcibly removed. Do you understand? You're going to, all right? But the cops are going to assist you. Going home. All right?
Don't touch me, sir.
The police are coming.
I'm back to you. I will
hit you. The cops are coming. If you make me call the police on you, you understand?
All right, so he eventually goes to the airport, and he's taken to the Redding International in Redding, California, and he's taken to the international airport. He boards a plane with these two, but he has already alerted a friend in China that this is happening. His friend calls the police. They show up at the airport and they grab him off of this plane and arrest the two kidnappers. Now, what the heck was happening there? We'll have more on it in just a second. Saw on my Twitter feed of a video of a front loader hitting a tree and a mushroom cloud of pollen just coming out of this tree. And it was awesome. I mean, it was crazy. It was so crazy. I thought it was fake. But that's what you and I are breathing in all the time, especially at this time with all of the pollen. I get relief when I can come here into our studios or when I'm at home and I have the new filters from FilterBuy. Fight your allergies at the source instead of, you know, popping more medicine. FilterBuy.com is America's leading provider of HVAC filters for homes and small businesses, and they carry over 600 sizes that'll ship for free within 24 hours, and they're all made right here in America. Now, they also have auto delivery, which helps you not forget to change your air filter, because you pull these things out because you've forgotten. You pull these things out and they are just nasty. Well, that's what you're breathing in. Now, they'll knock 5% off the order if you care to make your life a little easier and just have them sent every 6 months or whenever it is you're supposed to have your air filter changed. But you're going to save time. You're going to save money. You're going to breathe better. You're going to do wonders for your HVAC system. With FilterBuy.com. Buy your filters from FilterBuy.com. That's FilterBuy.com.
Glenn Beck.
So there's two things that I would take from this half hour of the program. One, China is on the verge. They're in much worse shape than we are. And they are reverting back to their Mao tendencies. They're reverting back to a very dangerous and oppressive communist regime. And the other to take away is the reason, one of the reasons why we had a 400-point drop in the Dow yesterday was not just Europe, but also that we said yesterday, Donald Trump did, that we are enacting a 25% tariff on all technology goods that are coming out of China. They can't afford that. Now, if this is a negotiating ploy to help us with North Korea, that's good, I think. If we actually impose that on China, that's going to be very, very dangerous for the entire globe, for the economies of the world, but also the safety of people all around the world.
And it's supposed to hit 106 degrees this week in Texas. 106 degrees. The weather is heating up. Hopefully for you, it's not going to hit 106. But when the weather starts to heat up, that is the time where the housing market typically heats up. People don't want to, you know, go through 3 feet of snow to get to look at new houses. They like to go look in the spring and the summertime. And if you are looking to sell your house fast and for the most money, realestateagentsitrust.com is the place you need to go. It's a great service because it goes through and sorts through real estate agents to find the best ones in your area. Who really puts the work in? Who shares your values? Who understands how to market a home? Who understands how to keep everybody updated? And not to mention all the paperwork, which is a huge deal when you're talking about the biggest investment in your entire life. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com is the place to go to get that all sorted out for you. You need to have not just an agent, you need to have the agent. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com, RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
Go to see Jordan Peterson and Dave Rubin tonight, sold out performance here in Dallas. Dave is going to be on with us at 5 o'clock and then again at 5:30 for the news and why it matters. I'm interested to hear him talk a little bit about Roseanne and freedom of speech and what's really happening in the media world. Those guys are on the road now all the time. They're doing like 60 or 70 cities.
Yeah, looking at this list, it's insane. They've already done 30. No, Dave Rubin wasn't on all of the stops, but they've already done 30 speaking stops and tour stops. There's another 36 scheduled. I mean, that's a big time tour. And he's all over in the United States. If you're anywhere, I mean, I'm just looking at his list here. Houston, Dallas, Austin, Phoenix, Washington, Richmond, Charlotte, Nashville, Atlanta, Louisville, Indianapolis, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, San Diego,
gotta
Long Beach, Thousand Oaks.
Gotta go see him.
I mean, really, if you're anywhere,
Jordan
you have at
Peterson
least a shot
is,
at him coming.
Yeah, Jordan Peterson is really remarkable. I'm bringing my son tonight. This will be the first kind of, you know, father-son kind of adult thing that I'm bringing my son to and expecting him to pay attention. You know, usually he will sleep through everything I do, mm-hmm. but I appreciate
well, I do
that.
Too, and I'm a grown-up man.
I mean, so that I understand that, but mm-hmm. So interested to see how this goes tonight.
This is interesting because Jordan Peterson, a large part of his focus, I would say, is how to be a man.
Yeah.
Is that the reason you're...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bringing him?
Yeah.
Bringing my son? Yeah. No, it's, I mean, he's 13 now. It's weird. It's like he's turning into a man. I mean, you know, 4 or 5 more years and he's out of the house.
How does that make you feel?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah.
And the best thing about that is knowing Rafe, he would absolutely appreciate that joke.
So last night I was doing some research because I'm at the very end of writing a new book. That comes out this fall. And so I was doing research on the Bill of Rights and the different amendments. And last night I was really researching just freedom of religion and freedom of speech, which was really interesting to do on the night that Roseanne Barr, you know, did you see all the tweets where people were saying, she's got freedom of speech? Yeah, she does. But the government didn't put her in jail for this. I mean, that's what freedom of speech is all about.
Yeah, right, of course. It's nothing to do with whether ABC decides to fire her or not.
Right.
I mean, you can argue whether or not you think that's the right thing.
Yes, you know. But it has nothing to do with the Constitution. It has nothing to do. I wrote to Mike Lee last night and said, Mike, help me out with freedom of speech and Roseanne. And, you know, he immediately wrote back and said, well, it's not the government. I said, I understand that. But... are we just relying on people being of good character and not running to judge others on speech? I mean, we're firing people for, you know, for supporting Proposition 8 a decade ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
and it's political, but there is no protection for that. It just the protection has to come from the people saying, I don't like that. No, we're not doing that.
Yeah, and look, you know, this is a tough one because I think what she did was really rough.
Horrible.
I mean, look.
No, it was horrible.
There's no point in which it was okay. But in 2018, calling a black person an ape is pretty far over the line. Like, it's not like a borderline one.
I don't think it was even borderline in 1965.
That's right.
It was shocking even to our grandparents.
Right.
They were like, whoa, that's over the line.
There's never a point it was a good idea.
No.
But it's really far over the line now. And, you know, it's...
She's blamed it on Ambien, by the way.
Yeah, she has blamed it on Ambien. You know, we talked about this yesterday when the story came out. Our immediate reaction was watch Roseanne while it lasts because you're not going to be seeing it again. And since then, I mean, we were at some point, you know, at some level, the show might be canceled, right? That's the point we're making. It's gone further than that. The show was canceled. She was dropped from her agency. Mm-hmm. The reruns of the show are no longer going to air. And the reruns of her old series have been canceled in one day. In one day. Now, look, I have to tell you,
mm-hmm. hang on just a second.
Sure.
I have to tell you, let the free market work that out. Why does she have to have, okay, making new things for ABC, sure. But on Netflix or Amazon, if I want to see it, like if you try to take away the Cosby show, forget about him. I'm not watching it for him. I'm watching it for the character and the writing. And it's funny. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't understand why we have to go back now in time and take Roseanne, which was a good show when it aired originally. It was a good show. Why do we have to take it away?
Right, we're like trying to erase history.
Right. You can't you don't erase history.
And I sort of have a policy, which is controversial in moments like this,
yeah.
which is no one should ever be fired for something that they tweet. And people will say, "Well, this is way over the line." And I am completely you are right. It is way over the line. And my policy will occasionally allow people who are completely horrible monsters to keep their jobs. But I'd rather err on that side.
So would I.
We're going to this point now where everybody's getting fired over everything.
So,
and it's the wrong way to go.
So here's the thing. You know, Joe Scarborough tweeted yesterday. Oh, my gosh. She's got to go.
Okay.
All right, Joe. What about Joy Reid?
Yeah.
What about Joy Reid?
That they actually were talking to Joy Reid about the story with no sense of irony at all. You know, she somehow has been able to keep her job. And let's be honest, why? Because she's on the left, right?
If Roseanne, she just picked the wrong target. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. She picked the wrong target. Had she said that about Candace Owens, it would have not registered at all.
I think you're probably right. I mean, calling a black person an ape in 2018,
I don't know that.
If there's any way you get away with it, but you're right. It would certainly not be as big a story.
I would bet that there would be a little bit of outrage and then it would be over.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think she loses the show.
She doesn't lose the show. She said about Clarence Thomas, she would not lose the show. There would be a little bit of outrage, but she wouldn't lose the show. And this is the real irony on this whole thing is, A, we're not being consistent at all. I mean, I think conservatives are. I'm outraged by this. I think she should lose her job over this, because if she was working for me and she did this, I'd fire her. I don't want that kind of mouth around here. You'll fire her. Mm-hmm. Looks bad on everybody else in this building. So you fire him. So you may disagree with what ABC did, but I think if it was you in your company, I think you would fire them as well.
I would certainly want to. If I hired her, however, in this particular instance, think about this. The point of entry is the problem. The fact that you hired her in the first place after she had said numerous anti-Semitic things, mm-hmm. after she had said numerous violent things about mm-hmm. other people,
yes.
talking about killing
guillotines,
taking guillotines to bankers that she didn't like.
And she wasn't, that wasn't an actual joke. Policy of hers.
But she was a presidential candidate.
Yeah,
when
she was not joking about that.
Again, so the fact that you would hire her in the first place indicates that you were comfortable with her being a little bit nuts. And like, maybe a lot nuts. Let's be honest, it's a lot nuts. To bring her in, have her show be successful, and then the next time she says something that is actually much, much less offensive than murdering an entire class of people, which is she's previously advocated.
Yes.
As offensive as the Valerie Jarrett thing was, it's not killing people who are CEOs
Correct.
Because they happen to run companies.
Correct.
So the idea that now, all of a sudden, they have this, we think what she does is offensive.
Well,
we don't
it wasn't
want her on the air.
I mean, I will tell you that they gave her more than one strike. I mean, you know, she came out and she said the tweets that she's done recently have just been insane, where she's still talking about Pizzagate. I mean, good God. Even Alex Jones is like, yeah, that whole thing is crazy, huh?
Right.
That's a total hoax. Even Alex Jones is saying Pizzagate is a hoax. She's still on it. So, I mean, she's just put herself into a class of just a complete nut job. But again, going back to ABC, ABC, I think, was right for firing her. But in the same week that they hire Keith Olbermann?
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, he's completely insane, too. And at some point, if he tweets something offensive, which he probably won't, against someone on the left, so he'll probably keep his job. But if he does do something that goes over the line and they have to fire him, when's the problem? The problem's today. The problem is when you hire the guy. You know exactly who Keith Olbermann is.
But they don't.
He's done this at every place he's ever worked. He's not a good guy. He's over and over again burned every bridge and for whatever reason continually gets hired without a success since what? George Bush's re-election? When is the last time Keith Olbermann's done anything of consequence?
So here's the other thing. When you look at this whole story, I mean, you couldn't have written this better if you were an agent of chaos. And I contend that that's all she is. She's an agent of chaos. She just wants to burn the system down. Remember, she claims that she is a socialist Marxist, but I think she's a communist. When you're talking about killing people that make over $1 million a year, you're a communist. So she wants to burn the system down. So she goes out, and what does she do? She says, in many ways, in all of her actions, I'm for Donald Trump. I'm for Donald Trump. She gets everybody to watch her show. And then she takes that whole audience and identifies all of the Donald Trump people with her. Then she says crazy, destructive, and racist things. Now she's out of the picture. And what's left? You have a socialist, Marxist, probably a communist, who is a vile person who doesn't believe anything that conservatives believe. And she was called last night. I heard her called a pillar, I think, of the conservative movement now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's like
she ran in the Green Party for president in the United States.
Yeah.
She's a socialist at the very least. The very least, and you're right, probably a communist.
I thought it was really interesting that I wrote that to Van Jones yesterday. He said, I'm glad that ABC fired him. And I said, I didn't think this was going to happen. I agree with Van Jones. However, Van, recognize that she is a socialist and a Marxist. And that is not a slam on socialists and Marxists. That is just to remind everyone she's not a conservative. Found it interesting that he didn't retweet it because I know he watches my email or my tweets. I know he watches.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And it was interesting that he didn't tweet that to his people, which to me says a lot.
I mean, think of it this way. Think of Roseanne's politics. You could talk about how she's supporting Trump. I mean, I don't know what the reason for that is. I mean, largely it's probably because he's a celebrity. And he's, an agent of, chaos in a mm-hmm. way, right? Like he's breaking things up and she likes that he's mixing it up. But it's not a policy issue. Think of when she ran for president, This is the Romney Obama election. It's not, you know, a million years ago. It's just a couple of elections ago. In that election, she ran for president. You know who her running mate was? Cindy Sheehan. Do you remember Cindy Sheehan?
Oh, yeah, I do. I do.
This is the woman who is the anti-Bush, mm-hmm. you know, a code pink mm-hmm. Leftist who was protesting the Bush ranch and the war and everything else. That was her running mate. That's not a conservative.
That's why we have to watch who we are standing next to. They might make us feel good to go, oh, they're with us. No. No.
You don't just embrace Roseanne every person who says anything.
Roseanne has never been with us, and we have to make that very, very clear. She belongs to the other side, not to the conservatives. She belongs to the other side. And the same thing with Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan, oh, it looks like he addressed, he's gone to Trump. No, no, no. He's an agent of chaos, period. So if you're hiring at your business, you need to find great people, but you need a better way to find them. Something better than just posting your job online and praying for the right people to see it. And ZipRecruiter is the way that you will be able to find the right job candidate. Now, ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for. It's smart technology. It identifies the people with the right experience and then goes out and invites them to apply for your job. Now, these invitations are what's really revolutionizing things. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in the first day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there now. They also spotlight the strongest applications you receive, so you never miss the great match. So you can post online, you know, if that's the way you want to do it. But I'm telling you, ZipRecruiter is going to change the candidates that are coming through your door. It's going to massively upgrade them. ZipRecruiter, been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidate with immediate results. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com. Post your job now free at ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck.
There is a really interesting, funny, cutting-edge book called I can't say the first part of it. The subtitle is "The Country's Collapsing and the Ratings Are Great." We have Charlie LaDuff on with us in just a few minutes. You don't want to miss it. Also, more on Roseanne, more on reparations, happy hour, immigration, and a little bit of Starbucks as well. Don't clip your fingernails in Starbucks. Don't do it.
Glenn Beck.
Well, yesterday, no surprise, ABC canceled the rebooted version of their hit sitcom Roseanne after Roseanne racially insulted Valerie Jarrett on Twitter. As soon as that happened, they dropped all the reruns, dropped her old show. You're not going to find that in reruns. And her talent agency, ICM, also dumped her. But here's the real news flash about Roseanne Barr. She's crazy, and she's always been crazy. The only surprise about this story is that it took Roseanne 2 whole months to self-destruct after the new version of her show debuted to huge ratings. She's a ticking time bomb. The only suspense is how she's going to go off next time. Will we find her in a mall with a rifle? Could be. If Roseanne had insulted Condoleezza Rice or Candace Owens, I wonder if there would be this outrage. That would just be, you know, crazy Roseanne getting her kicks. But she picked on Valerie Jarrett, former President Obama's senior advisor. One of the three women that you don't pick on if you hope to have any sort of career. The other two are Michelle Obama and Oprah. You don't pick on them. Now, this is... I'm finding myself in a really bad place because if I was the running ABC for a myriad of reasons, I would have fired Roseanne yesterday, but I wouldn't have hired her in the first place. This is the hypocritical part of ABC, suddenly growing a conscience about Roseanne. I don't want to downplay her racist tweet about Valerie Jarrett because it was awful. But remember, Roseanne has done a lot worse. like posing for a magazine spread in 2009 dressed as Hitler while her holding a burnt tray of people-shaped cookies. So it's not really the kind of person that you invite over for dinner and have, you know, polite conversation. It's Roseanne Barr. ABC knew what they were getting with Roseanne, and they were completely fine with it until she was helping Trump supporters. The Hitler thing aside, there are plenty of bizarre stuff to keep a common sense company from doing business with Roseanne. But I just want to make sure that we as conservatives make sure you are tweeting and posting everywhere. Remember, this is your gal. She is a Marxist socialist. She's an insane conspiracy theorist who still believes that George W. Bush orchestrated 9/11, that Obama perpetrated the Boston Marathon bombing, and that commercial airlines spray us, quote, with mind-altering chemicals. Well, maybe she's been flying too much. She's called Israel a Nazi state. She's gone on RT several times to spread her bizarre beliefs. She's violently opposed to U.S. banks. She talked about on Russia Today that bankers should have should be beheaded and we should bring back the guillotines. Let's give this woman a sitcom. Unfortunately, because all of the buzz surrounding the relaunch of her sitcom was about how Roseanne on the show was such a huge Trump supporter, her meltdown is being construed by the mainstream media as typical conservative behavior. See, this is what Trump supporters are like. They're all kooks. Roseanne may have voted for Trump in real life, but she is not a Republican, much less a conservative. And she's never pretended to be one either. She is proudly displaying and proudly announcing her own weird version of socialism. She ran for president in 2012. She was first trying to get the Green Party nomination, but then when she failed, she switched to the ultra far left Peace and Freedom Party with Cindy Sheehan as her running mate. Oh, yeah, she sounds like a conservative to me. On the campaign trail, her main issues were single-payer health care and legalizing marijuana. You know, the ultimate pillar of conservatism. The latest real episode, the real-life episode of Roseanne, is just a microcosm of major cultural problems. But the tragic underlying issue here is character and how little we value character at all. And it's causing chaos in every sector of society. Both the left and the right now believe character only matters depending on the situation and whether or not it affects or halts their team from winning.
It's Wednesday, May 30th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Talk a lot about the media and how they don't really do a good job with what they're doing. You see that as a common theme occasionally.
Yeah.
And we, you know, a lot of times you kind of get these critiques of the media that come from this place of the higher learning, it feels like, you know. Yeah. It's like people who are just in their towers looking at, I can't believe what's going on with the media these days. I hope you agree. One of the guys who kind of, I think, eschews that and gets in the middle of it, just mixes it up in the middle of these real stories, is Charlie LaDuff. He's got a new book out. It's called S Show. The country's collapsing and the ratings are great. And he joins us now.
And Charlie, we are on live national radio. And I know you are a loose cannon, but I just want to remind you that you're on live national radio. How are you, sir?
I'm well. So you mean I can't say the name of my book?
Right. Yes.
It just shows you what a dope I am. I'm not that smart because I can't say the name of my book.
Yeah, right. I have to tell you, I love your style, and I love in your book the way you describe first meeting Roger Ailes and going into Fox News, because I work there, obviously, and I don't know anyone who has the balls to describe that situation and the room that you were in as frankly as you did. Can you go over how you pitched Roger Ailes for, you know, traveling around the country and just really listening to people?
I'm not really sure I can say it, can I? National radio.
I know.
But, you know, no, basically, you know, I had worked for the New York Times a lot of years, et cetera, et cetera. I moved home to Detroit. I had a kid, and I felt we should be from here because this is where, you know, her grandmothers are from. So I'm working in Detroit. I wrote a book about Detroit. It was a national bestseller. And the supposition there was Detroit is not a freaky outlier. Detroit was the mechanical and money-making heart of America. Mm-hmm. And if this is what happened to the core, now, what do you think is happening in the rest of the country? And so I went into Roger's office, and I said, I'd like to look. I'd like to do part two. And whatever you think of the guy, I'm going to tell you what, is his intellect. He's impressive.
Oh, he was.
Because he created that thing whole cloth. Mm-hmm. You know he did. And you go into his office, and there's not a stitch of paper. Nothing. Not a Kleenex, not lint, not a schedule. It's all done up in his head. So we got along, actually, pretty well, you know, just kind of, you know, talking about guns and the country. And his only rule was, I don't need you doing exposés on Rupert Murdoch's charities, which I can give two S's about, you know,
right.
Because there's so many chattering chimps on the coast that are going to do all that.
Yeah.
What about the rest of us?
So you went out and you listened to people. You were one of the people that was not surprised by Donald Trump's victory. Because you were listening to people. Tell me what's happening.
Well, look, it's more than listening to people. I live with them. I do what they do. When we were, you know, at the Texas-Mexican border, I put on a Speedo with a USA tattooed on the butt, put on a straw hat, blew up a yellow rubber kayak, and was paddling through the smuggling zone.
You know what I mean? I don't know if that's exactly what every American does, but I appreciate somebody doing it.
Well, there you go, because you know what? I was watching mainstream TV, and I'm like, I never saw the border.
Yeah.
I just saw a hungry kid. But you need to show me how this works. You need to show me the geography. You need to show me the ridiculousness of being, quote-unquote, invaded by a bunch of kindergartners. Right? How does this work? So when I did that, you know, the coyote will pull up, the smuggler pull up on the jet ski and drag his fingers across his throat and say, "You're costing me money, man." I said, "Okay, that's good. That's, that gets to it." And so what you find out is there's no work. But wait a minute. CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, is 10 years old. NAFTA is 20 years old. In fact, look right over there in New Mexico where there are no soldiers or police trying to stop this. And there's our factories. Wow. That factory used to be in Flint. Wow. This made nobody rich, except the very rich. So this is the kind of thing that we were trying to get at. You know, when, you know, Buster Brown from the media shows up in his, you know, his Banana Republic gear, and it's all freshly and crisply laundered, and he's got makeup on, and it's 110 degrees, and he's giving you the we're here saying nothing, basically. That we want to get into the life, and what this book is it's about the American people and it's for the American people. And no, it did not surprise me, because the depths of the discontent are so deep that it's hard to miss unless you're willing to miss it. And I feel, and I'm just saying it, now I'm comfortable, I just feel the media doesn't care. And they promised us they were going to care, and so far I'm not really seeing much of that either.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, Charlie. I mean, I'm willing to dismiss it for a while as, well, they just don't know. Well, they've had the biggest wake-up call of any of their careers and their life.
Right,
and
right.
They still are doing the same thing. In fact, I think they've doubled down. They don't care.
They quadrupled down because the split screen is now an octagon. And all we're getting is... We're getting the, you know, it's like a ESPN after show on your favorite sports team. And the middle is so wide, right? There's like, you know, Reagan Democrats and there's liberal Republicans. And it's not just the polls. It's not, you know, polar opposites. The real life is issue by issue. And again, you know, great intro, by the way. Did you write that, or did that just come straight out of your head?
Out of our head, yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah. Because here's what I'll say. Roseanne, this was ABC's genuflection. Well, we want to get in touch with the regular American. So you brought back a boring show from 2 decades ago? I mean, it's not, bring back Archie Bunker, man. Because that was interesting and funny.
There's some logistical reasons why you can't bring him back, unfortunately, sadly.
Understood. You know what I'm saying.
Right.
But that's basically all we got was a sitcom. That's what you've given us? That's your look at America? Not good enough.
They don't know who America is. They don't like what they think America is. And they're not going to look for it because they know they're not going to like it. They think they are better.
Let me put to you like this. In this book, amongst many things, remember when they take, you know, after Dylann Roof shot up, murdered 9 parishioners in South Carolina, remember?
Yes.
And they're taking down the Dixie over the state house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I call the Ku Klux Klan. Yes, they do have a hotline. So I call them. It's settled. The Grand Dragon and I are going to carpool from North Carolina to South Carolina. Well, let me get a look at you. He's using me for the PR, and I'm getting a look at this guy.
Okay, hang on. Wait. I got to take a break so we don't have to interrupt the Grand Dragon meeting story. This is too good. Back with Charlie LaDuff. I can't say the first part of his book. It's S Show. The country's collapsing and the ratings are great. Charlie LaDuff. Make sure you pick it up. We'll continue with him and the meeting of the Grand Dragon coming up in just a minute. I want to talk to you a little bit about Bitcoin and cryptos. And I want to tell you about our crypto master course that we have asked Tika Tiwari to put together for you. Right now, we have looked. There is a, please rate the course afterwards. This audience is giving it 97%, I think, outstanding. You need to understand what Bitcoin is, what crypto is, how to invest, how it works, why it's important, because I honestly think that the economy is going to collapse because we've printed too much money. I don't know if you heard the monologue last hour where we were just pointing out that China is in real trouble. They are now responsible for 2/3 of all of the growth in debt since 2008. And our debt is now 250% of global GDP. That's gonna come back and haunt us. You want to find out about cryptocurrency? Now would be a good time. Learn everything you can. All you have to do is go to smartcryptocourse.com. That's smartcryptocourse.com. Or call 877-PBL-BECK, 877-PBL-BECK, smartcryptocourse.com. That's where we are. Welcome to the program. Charlie LaDuff at charlieladuff.com. He is the author of S Show, The Country's Collapsing, and the Ratings Are Great. Welcome back to the program. So you, after the shootings, you call up the Grand Dragon of the KKK, which, you know, I don't even know where I would start to look for his number, but you got a hold of him and you met. Tell us about it.
We meet at the Greensboro airport. He goes for baggage claim. I'm suspecting he's going to rent a Suburban, but he gets a, what was it, a Shock or some little hipster car? I couldn't believe it. This guy can't drive. He doesn't know how to enter the freeway. It turns out he's from Southern California. He's 5 minutes from Disneyland. Yes, it is a small world after all.
Wow.
And I Google Earth his house, and a Latino's mowing his lawn. Okay, so we drive down to South Carolina. They do their rally. They forget to bring a PA system, so it's just a bunch of racist baboons just shouting, and nobody's listening. And fast forward to Charlottesville. Okay, it's the same guys. It's the same couple hundred goofs. Okay, but the media is making that thing look like this great white menace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, sure, there are bigots and racists out there. I'm an American. I know what time it is. But you couldn't count how many tiki torches there were, because I sure as hell remember when Trump said, I had the biggest inauguration ever, and we're going to be treated to 2 weeks of aerial shots with right. quadrants and crowd estimations. Right. But you can't count these idiots. So I suspect, I feel, I don't suspect, this is what I feel. That fits a narrative that the media wants, that this explains somehow what's going on with the Trump vote, which is it's a bunch of racists. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. It's not that at all. It's there are profound, and I was listening to your commercials again. Think of the debt. Think of the box of air that the Dow is, right? Think mm-hmm. of the monetary and fiscal policy. Think of what real estate's doing again. It feels like 2006 all over again. Where's my job, bro? Where's mm-hmm. my job? Wages have done nothing. This is the discontent. And if you took Trump plus Bernie, you got 70-75% of the electorate.
And if
they were women, you probably got 85.
Yep.
So let's get down with what's really going on instead of the BS that we're being fed all the time. And I must back up and say there are hundreds, if not thousands, of really good reporters, but they're getting lost in the S show because it's all Trump all the time, and it's really never about us, we the people.
It is only making people more disenfranchised and more willing to listen to people that they may not agree with on a whole bunch of stuff because they're crazy, but they'll stand there with them because they're saying the few things that the media and the politicians will not address.
Yeah, and the media's, you know, look, who said it? Justice Blackmun, I think. The media, the press, let's call it the press, right? Because I like the press better. You work for the governed, not the governors.
Yeah.
Okay. So the chummy cocktail parties in Washington. I'm in Michigan right now. All the lobbyists and politicians and business elite and the reporters are all on an island in the Great mm-hmm. Lakes, palling around, drinking it up, discussing the virtues of taxing my house yet again for yet another potential boondoggle of some public works that benefits not the people that own the houses. This is the situation. And I don't think, you know, we're told this. The Trump voters, he promised them the Beaver Cleaver 1950s. I'm like, 90% of Americans don't have a recollection of the 50s.
Yeah.
Maybe we were voting for the 90s when things were rocking and rolling.
Charlie LaDuff, the name of the book is S Show. The country's collapsing and the ratings are great. A must read. Charlie, I really enjoyed our conversation. Hope to talk to you again. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Charlie LaDuff at charlieladuff.com. So glad that you're here today. Our studios are kind of a wreck right now. They're building out the pop-up museum. It's going to be very extensive. I think it's June 15th through the 17th, I think. You can find out all about it at mercury1.org museum 2018, mercury1.org/museum 2018. We've got some really incredible things that you have not seen before. We are asking to borrow some things from a couple of other museums because this museum is all about the rights of men and what life is like without the Constitution. This morning I was up really early trying to gather some pictures and do some writing for the museum, and it was I'm just looking at just Google concentration camps around the world, torture chambers around the world. They're new pictures. This stuff is happening now around the world. And you think that it's not. You think that it's all over, and it's not. You think that we're so bad. No, I invite you to look, especially over in Asia and Europe, or Asia and the Middle East.
We have a wonderful visitor coming to us very soon. from North Korea.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to come over and hang out in the U.S. for a little while.
Yeah, it's great.
Responsible for multiple murders that we at least know of. And, of course, part of the regime that has imprisoned, you know, millions.
They're the worst of the worst. Well, I would say I actually saw photos of ISIS torture chambers, which are, you know, they're up there.
It's hard to up ISIS, though they're not a nation state.
Yes. Yes.
At least anymore.
Yes. But it's so anyway, it starts with, you know, the horrors that man does to man to gain control. And then what do you want to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And the next part of the museum is God is dead, the Nietzsche quote. Well, that wasn't a celebratory quote, that it was a warning. If man doesn't believe in God, it's not that he believes in nothing. He'll believe in anything, which then leads to even more horror. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, you have to find that sweet spot of liberty. And it is a sweet spot. The museum will open up into the Liberty Tree. And then at the Liberty Tree, you go left or right. You go one way and you get the American Revolution. You go the other way, you get the French Revolution, which is the guillotine. And then we get into the rights of men. What rights do men have? Man. What rights do we have, and how do they work? And when we don't pay attention, what have we done? We've got this great section in the pop-up museum of the Titanic. And what happened because of the Titanic and because the federal government dismissed the Constitution, they forced the states to do something because of the Titanic, and it led to one of the biggest maritime tragedies in American history. And nobody knows about it. But it was completely preventable. And it was only because the federal government said, we know better. We know better than you do. Well, no, they don't. So it is happening June 15th through the 17th. It's the weekend of Father's Day. You can buy general admission tickets, or you can sign on for one of our tours. Stu is going to be giving a tour. I'm going to be giving tours. I'm going to be here all weekend, and I want to meet you and say hello. And I can't wait to show you just a little bit of our pop-up museum. This is only about, this is probably not even an eighth of what we have that are in the vaults and the warehouses now. Quite a collection of telling the story of man's freedom and American progress and our fits and our starts and our stops and our wrong roads. You can see it at mercuryone.org/museum2018. Grab your tickets now, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
Really excited for it. That is a lot of fun. That's one of those events that...
We enjoy it as much as anybody coming in.
Yeah.
Because we get to meet you again. We get to see you and talk to you and spend time with you. And the whole crew is here all weekend, so we'd love to see you.
Will you have anything on teriology there?
Pardon me?
On teriology?
What's the level
of depth you will go into it?
Teriology is?
Well, I that's surprising. And yeah. It does not give me a lot of confidence in the museum.
Yeah, okay.
But I was reading back up again about it recently because of the whole Roseanne Barr thing where she gets fired for her tweet. And it made me think of the television show Empire, which is a big show on Fox, starring Terrence Howard.
Okay.
Terrence Howard, he's been in a lot of big movies. He's the star of that show. Mm-hmm. And I remember him having a couple of run-ins, with perhaps being accused of hitting women over and over again. He seems to still have a job. But only in 2000 he was arrested.
He hasn't hit anybody powerful in the Obama administration.
That's true. And that might be the distinction here.
I have a feeling that played a big role.
Oddly. In fact, he's actually admitted hitting his ex-wife. Several allegations over the years of domestic violence and all sorts of really nasty things. But And that should be probably enough.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in teriology.
I'm not sure what it is.
Teriology is a language created by Terrence Howard, the star of Empire.
Okay. I was mm-hmm. off. I was going with it's the study of really great bathrobes.
No, yeah, no, right. You think it's not.
No, it's
he
not.
May have been in all a right. bathrobe when he created
okay.
it.
Okay. It's his own language.
It may have been open, and he may have been on a street corner.
Okay,
right. But somehow he invented this. Listen to the. This is the street.
Is this serious?
This is serious. Okay. Terrence Howard had a theory. It might seem crazy. It may even be crazy. But a long time ago, he gotten a hold of this notion that 1 times 1 doesn't equal 1, but 2. He began writing down this logic in a language of his own, devising. Of his own devising that he calls teriology. He wrote forward and backward with both his right and left hands, sometimes using symbols that he made up that looked foreign, if not alien, to keep his ideas secret until they could be patented. In 2013, he got married to
This guy is a danger to society.
Right. And that's the domestic violence
right,
part.
Right, right.
This is also right. probably somewhat dangerous. He got married to an L.A. restaurateur, and the two would spend up to 17 hours a day cutting shapes out of plastic and joining them together into various objects meant to demonstrate not only his 1 times 1 theory, but many others as well. His place is filled with his fantastical plastic assemblages.
Okay, now that could be art. Have you seen it?
I have not seen
it.
Okay, there's no
pictures. It could be art. There's nothing wrong with, 17 hours my wife and I are doing art projects together.
They bear a similarity to building blocks, but the shapes are infinitely more complex. In 2 dimensions and 3, tied together by copper wire or held in place by magnets. They are hemispheres, cubes, and flighty wings. Some of the objects are as small as mice. Others are as big as hydrants. Some are hanging. Some are freestanding. A few larger ones sit lit in the inside with LED twinkle stars. They are gorgeous and otherworldly. He has no name for them. They just are. He loves them as much as he loves his infant son, who is sleeping nearby and will one day inherit U.S. patent 201-5007-98972A1 systems and methods for enhanced building block applications. And he goes on and on about why he believes 1 times 1 equals 2.
No, it equals 1.
How can it equal 1? After high school, he attended the Pratt Institute in Brooklyn studying chemical engineering until he got into an argument with a professor about 1 times 1 equals and what it equals. How can it equal 1? He said,
"Because you're timing itself.
If 1 times 1 equals 1, that means 2 is of no value because 1 times itself has no effect. 1 times 1 equals 2 because the square root of 4 is 2. So what is the square root of 2? It should be 1, but we're told it's 2, and that cannot be." Like, that is one of the greatest rants of all time.
This guy is nuts.
But this is okay. Domestic violence combined with the 1 times 1 equals 2 thing, those things are okay to hold on to your job. I don't know what that is. Again, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just because of a critical comment.
I contend.
Against an Obama figure.
I contend. Now, I would have been just as outraged if he said this about Condoleezza Rice, or he would have said about Candace Owen or somebody else.
Sure.
But if it was said about Candace Owen, because she's not well known and she's kind of on the right, I believe that she would not have lost her job yesterday. Because you wouldn't have had all of the Hollywood people, rush to defense.
I mean, it's been a while since one of these incidents, but think of all the terrible things that have been said about Clarence Thomas over the years.
Yes.
And very, very little repercussion for those things. I mean, it really does have to do with whether you hold the correct political opinion. I mean, would she have been fired if she was still in out and out socialist mode running with Cindy Sheehan for president?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. If she wouldn't have been if she would have been doing an anti-Trump show that was mocking Trump, I don't know if she would have lost it. Especially if it wasn't, Valerie Jarrett. Valerie Jarrett is the third rail. You just don't do that. She's too powerful, too many friends, too many people in the media, too many people in Hollywood that are all connected to Obama, who's now doing this $50 million deal with Netflix. I mean, you just don't touch that rail. You don't do it. If it would have been Candace Owen, and she would have been doing something that was mocking Donald Trump, guarantee she would have kept her job yesterday. Guarantee it.
You're probably right. I would have loved, you know what would have been an amazing moment, and not that I would expect this out of certainly, an Obama official. But wouldn't it have been an amazing thing for Valerie Jarrett to stand up and say, you know what? I want to, don't cancel Roseanne. I want to talk to her. I want to meet with her. I don't want these 200 people to lose their jobs. She made a bad comment. It's not appropriate. And I want to talk to her about it. And hopefully she can flesh out some sane opinions. I don't know what's wrong with her. I don't know what her deal is. But just firing her to release yourself from this burden of a tweet when she had done and said many
That's
other
the problem.
Things.
You don't. I mean, if this would have been an anomaly, human beings would say to another human being, Roseanne, what was that all about? I got to talk to her. Something's wrong. No, you hired her. You knew this diagnosis. You knew she was crazy. You knew she would say anything. And she's not just saying it for laughs. She means these things. She means them. Now, I don't know if she meant that or if that was just a really bad, inappropriate joke. But she means a lot of the stuff she says. She is a Marxist socialist. That gives Marxist socialist a bad name. That's saying something.
Yeah. And I think there's a big lesson to be learned here for the right, which is, my daughter's like this. She just jumps into everything head first. She's like the dangerous one, right?
Yeah.
Hey, it's a giant slide. It's 90 feet tall. Jump. Like, that's her. And conservatives need to sit back. When some crazy celebrity just comes out and says, hey, by the way, all of a sudden I liked your guy. Maybe embracing them is not the right thing. We need to be a little more prejudicial.
We need to
actually show some, a little bit of level of looking at this for what it is.
I'm really happy to see that so many conservatives have come out against her. I just wish they would come out and say, hey, good job on this. But we're just releasing her back into your wild. Because she didn't ever belong to us. She is not a conservative. This is one of the people that you made, not us. If you want a real look at what's going on in the world and why the Dow was down, what was it down? Almost 400 points yesterday? Do we have any idea what the Dow is doing today? That happened for a couple of reasons. Yesterday, Italy is on the verge of collapse, and that means chaos, financial chaos throughout all of Europe. If Italy collapses, that brings down Deutsche Bank, it brings down the EU. It's just going to be global dominoes that are going to fall. Really not good. Are you prepared for this? Are you prepared at all? Have you? Because I have tried to just think, okay, well, maybe it's going to get better. Maybe it's just going to go away because nobody's talking about it. I've tried to ignore it. It's not going to go away. It's worse than ever before. And if you want to know how bad it is, go listen to the podcast today. Go listen to hour number one of the podcast. The first 5 minutes explains it all. And it's going to blow your mind on what people are not telling you. So what does that mean? It means you need to be prepared. Hedge your bet. Hedge what you have in your bank account. Hedge what you have maybe in your 401k. Hedge. So if other things go down, something else in your portfolio goes up, and that is gold. Call now to find out if gold or silver is right for you, but please do it now. 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE, or goldline.com. Read their important risk information. Make sure gold or silver is right for you. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck.
If you're a longtime listener to this program, you might remember Chippy. He was the 100-year-old guy who had a perfect memory of everything, depression and pre-depression. He was an amazing guy. We lost him a couple of weeks ago. He had been hit by a truck that took off. He was on a scooter on his way to get his hair cut, and a truck hit him and then took off. They never identified the guy who hit him. He was in the hospital. It was his goal to live to be 103. He had his 103rd birthday, and at 12:22 the next day, he passed away. He is now celebrating his 78th anniversary with his wife once again.
Glenn.
God bless. R.I.P.
Mercury. Glenn Beck.
And now, a story the mainstream will not give to you. His name is Everardo Reyes. He worked and lived at Joy Road Farm. It's in rural New York. He lived there with his girlfriend and her infant son. Now, Reyes is just an illegal immigrant who came for a better life. He snuck into this country from Mexico. He was deported once, and he snuck back in again. Yesterday, the evil immigration service arrested Reyes. They charged him with evidence tampering after police found the body of Reyes' girlfriend in a wooded area, hidden under tree branches, logs, and dirt. She was only 18. Her son is still missing. The police have scoured rivers and creeks and forest in search of the boy, but they're not optimistic. Yesterday, they canceled the Amber Alert that had been broadcast in an effort to find the boy. Now, that's a pretty compelling story. What happened? Why was he tampering with evidence? Do they think he killed her? The boy? But it's not fit for the New York Times, Washington Post, even the lowlier sources like BuzzFeed, Vice, and the Huffington Post. You're not going to find a single article about it. A heinous, cold-blooded murder doesn't count as news when or if it was committed by an illegal immigrant, or an illegal immigrant is involved in any way, shape, or form. Because if they report this, it disproves their narrative. Because the media right now is just having the time of their life mocking President Trump's statements about illegal immigration. Worse, they mischaracterize them all the time. When he said Mexico is often sending their worst, he meant that exactly. He meant this story. Like this guy. He proves that statement. Of course, the media framed President Trump's words differently. According to them, he just, was spewing bigoted, xenophobic words. Suddenly, they're often sending their worst, is reported as Trump says Mexicans are rapists. How are we going to solve anything? The answer is we're not. We're not. Unless somebody starts to report the news that is actual news. Tells the truth, even if it hurts them personally. We're not going to see the media shed their agendas and report the news. I've given up on that. That's what they're supposed to do. If they actually do it, that would actually be newsworthy. How sad is that? We've gotten to a place to where the media actually covering news would be unprecedented.
It's Wednesday, May 30th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh. Welcome to the program. I'm so glad that you have tuned in today. Stu, have you gotten your school shooter video yet? Your video game for school shootings?
I'm waiting to download it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It's called Active Shooter.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is people are saying it's irresponsible.
Oh, yeah, because you could walk in and shoot all of the kids in a school. That's what it's all about.
Right. Well, I mean, if that's what you choose, Glenn, if what you choose is to be the bad guy and go and kill a bunch of innocent children in a school.
Right.
Sure, that sounds like a bad thing. However, only an active shooter will you be able to pick the role of an elite SWAT team member.
Oh.
Or the actual shooter. Depending on the role, your objective might be to protect and extract or hunt and destroy. This is an actual real game. I don't necessarily think it's a good idea, stunningly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the idea that you could go in and give...
Well, no, no. Still...
You're giving essentially... I mean, this is a...
Still.
Yes.
I am so sick and tired of people like you.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to say that a shooting game, one that is going into school and has a side menu that just says how many kids are killed and how many cops are killed. I'm sick of people like you telling me that, you know, your kid could play this over and over and over again and it will affect them some way or another.
But, I mean, make sure we do not put smoking in movies.
No, wait a minute. Hang on just a second. Do not try to compare the two. One, if you're watching a movie and there is somebody cool that is smoking, you know immediately you want to be like that cool guy.
Right.
And so you, that's clearly different than you not playing a celebrity, just living in a game world or a virtual world where you're actually looking like you're shooting people. That's not going to affect you. That's not.
I mean, you know, I am not, I don't have a video, I don't have problems with video games, generally speaking. I'm not.
You will when your son gets older.
That's possible. You know, I mean,
you will. You'll see them change. You'll see them change just like you see your kids change.
Sure, I changed, right? I played them all the time.
Yeah, no. And I don't mean that it turns you into a killer.
Right.
I don't. And I hate it whenever we talk about this, everybody's like, yep. Glenn Beck wants all video games destroyed. No, I don't.
Right.
No,
you,
I don't.
You know the evidence here. I mean, like, video games have exploded in popularity over the past 20 years. At the same time, violence rates have gone in half.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a cause of additional violence in society.
It's like this. It's like this. For us to say that violent television creates more violence, it doesn't make sense to me because I watch cartoons and they're the most violent things around. Okay. They were much more violent when I was a kid than they are now. Okay. Mm-hmm. They were always blowing somebody up, shooting somebody, dropping a safe, falling off a cliff, something. It was always violent. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that didn't make me into a violent person. However, when you're watching all of this violent television and you have the propensity to be violent, I think there's a case to be made. It's not going to turn everybody into violent killers.
No, of course
but
not.
If you have that propensity, and we don't know who that is, it is going to make things worse.
And I think there's a certain person, right?
Yeah.
There's a certain person who lives right on the fringe of violence already, who probably has severe mental problems already,
mm-hmm.
that could take something from a video game that they play and obsess about and turn it into turn the real world into that imaginary world. Right. And that's, I think, the risk. However, I don't think it's something, and I know you feel the same way, at least I think you do, that's not something that you can legislate out of the world.
No.
It's the same argument with guns, right? Like, yes, there is some person out there who will take an action with a gun that is illegal and immoral and horrible because they're already borderline insane. And is it possible they can go take a step over that line? And because they have access to the gun, which they might not in another way. There's probably somebody, right? I mean, it's probably true. You can't legislate that out of the world by taking guns away from a hunter in Alabama. That's not the way that works.
And it's the same thing. You can't take guns away because of 3D printing. The genie is out of the bottle. Yeah. You will never get rid of the guns.
You have one of those, don't
you? Yes, I have, I think, number 12.
The 12th ever 3D printed gun.
Yes.
By the guy who did it. He lives in Texas, right?
Yes.
And if I remember right, wanted to make sure that what was he protesting? Was it?
He
one of the classic quotes, the collectivization of manufacture.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't sure, but anyway.
But he wasn't sure, exactly.
He wasn't sure.
But the point was, he wanted to, it was a symbol that said you cannot eradicate the gun from the earth.
And he's right.
And he's right. He's will never be able to do it now.
And you can't eradicate technology. No. You don't want to. But here is a cautionary note. We are now approaching a time to where deep fakes are getting more and more real. I believe in my career lifetime, which could be, what time is it now? In my career lifetime, I believe that deep fakes are going to be so good that I will be able to download my voice and perform without actually performing it.
You just don't want to show up to work every day is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
No, but I'm telling you, I believe in my career lifetime.
I think you're right.
That you're going to be able, they will be able to imprint the way I think, augment it with the internet, and be able to create cases that I would make, but even stronger, and deliver them in my style and in my voice and possibly my image in my career lifetime. And you won't know the difference, okay? Now, that's kind of cool, kind of spooky. How do you tell, you know, what's real, what's not, et cetera, et cetera? But let's just take this in the gaming world. Let's say I go to school, and all I have to have are the pictures of my friends. All I have to have is my yearbook. And I can put and wrap people and make them look just like the people in my class or in my office. Mm. And now I'm going to my school in virtual reality, and I'm shooting people that I know. Does that do anything at all to me in a virtual world to at least lessen the impact and the horror of that? Let me ask you this. How would you feel? Because this is right around the corner. I mean, this will be happening, and you'll read about it in the next 2 years. I believe it's already happening, but not wide scale enough. You know the creepy guy at work that might have a crush on you? He's going to take a picture of you at work, and he's going to make porn of you. And he's going to be doing all kinds of things while watching you on his video.
We are screwed. We are screwed.
Yeah, now, how do you feel about that creepy guy in the office? I mean, is this no big deal? Does this not affect him? Does this not affect you? Is this something that you shouldn't worry about? Of course not. Yeah. This is going to change us. How? I don't know. And you cannot eradicate it because the genie is out of the bottle. But we have to talk about it and deal with it.
And we inherently know this from positive things. You know, like over vacation, we were on vacation last week. You know what I did multiple times? Played golf. That's a normal guy activity, playing golf. However, it's not for me. I don't play golf. I played golf with my son because my son got a hold of Golf Clash on the phone and loves Golf Clash. Mm. He was inspired to want to play real golf because he played a lot of fake golf on the phone. And we all know this. Look at every director of a movie who's like, I remember the first time I watched X movie and it inspired me to want to be this and do this for a living. So we all know that in a positive way influences us.
Yeah, and it doesn't influence everybody.
It doesn't turn everyone into a director.
No, those people who are attuned to that, it does motivate.
Yeah, and so if you have a really bad motivation and you obsessively play a game that has a really bad outcome, could it potentially put someone over the edge and to make them do that? Yes. Does that mean, however, that you come in and say, well, then video games should not be allowed. You should not be able to,
No,
of course not. That's not what it means.
No, you should.
But
you
it is
need
something to
have...
be really careful with your kids.
Yes.
To be incredibly careful with your kids at any age with this sort of stuff, especially, God forbid, if you think they're going down some dark road, you got to do your best to intervene as soon as possible.
The other thing is when are we going to start asking our questions? Because everything can be done. Everything can be done. In my lifetime, everything will be able to be done. Does that mean you should? And I'm not talking about the manufacturer of this video game. the creators of the, I'm saying you. Should we engage in that? Should we support that? Should stores that sell video games, should they? Should I find another video, not make a big deal, not boycott, should I find another store that will sell games if they're selling that one? These are all ethical questions for each of us as individuals, not a government to mandate, but each of us as individuals to ask. I know this game could be played by the vast majority of people, and it won't necessarily affect them. I do think it will affect... It just makes us more callous. I do believe that. But it's not going to make everybody a killer. But is this something that we should be doing as people? I mean, that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. All right, I want you to have the best night's sleep you can get. Getting a good night's sleep, it's a whole different meaning when you fall into a Casper mattress. The engineers at Casper have outdone themselves in creating the most exceptionally comfortable sleep experience ever. You're gonna love yours. I love mine. Casper now has created three unique mattresses. I have, I think, the Wave mattress. My son-in-law, my daughter, are sleeping on that one now because I got the Wave. It's made to hit 36 different pressure points. So if you're somebody who lives with a lot of back pain or hip pain or something like that, it really does help you. Casper, the most breathable and comfortable mattress that you've ever slept on. More than a million happy customers now. The Essential Mattress is an innovation at a great price point. Casper. I want you to go to Casper.com, use the promo code Beck. You're going to save $50 on the purchase of this select mattress. Now, I want you to go to Casper.com and use the promo code. If you don't love it, just call them up. They come and they pick it up. They refund every dime. There's no hassle or anything. It is the way. If you're looking for a new bed, try it. You really have nothing to lose. Go to Casper.com, promo code Beck, save $50. Terms and conditions do apply. Casper.com, promo code Beck. Sarah, do we have the drunk news sounder? Because I think I found something that is definitely belongs into the category of drunk news.
The Glenn Beck Program presents Drunk News.
Okay. An organizer of reparations happy hour is a group called Brown Hope, and I think this is a good idea. They're Brown Hope, and they have invited black people and brown people and even Indians. And they've asked them to come to a bar, and we're going to give them a $10 bill. Now, who is on the $10 bill? I know who's on the $20 bill. I think $10 bill is Hamilton, who I didn't see the play, but I heard all about it, and it sounds wonderful. I think it should be $20, because that's Andrew Jackson. And Andrew, there would be nothing better than Hannon. Everybody says, this is how bad we are. We have Andrew Jackson on our money. But we'll give him $10, okay? And if, of course, nothing is free, money doesn't grow on trees, even in Portland. And so we fund this whole thing called Brown Hope, and we fund it by asking white people to give their money so brown people and indigenous people can drink. Now, some people say that indigenous people sometimes have a problem with alcohol. But who are you to judge? Okay, this is to bring people together and show everybody that segregation was wrong then and it's wrong now. And so we bring the money from the white people, and then we ask those white people not to come. because they're gonna, they will make black and brown and indigenous people very uncomfortable. And so the best way to teach that the segregation is wrong is to segregate. That way we can all talk about it. And that is the reparations happy hour. And it's happening in Portland, and it's happening every week. And they're going to rename it, because the other wasn't catchy enough. It's reparations power hour, because they're so powerful.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Dave Rubin is going to be part of the extravaganza beginning at 5 o'clock today. I'm going to spend about a half hour with him, and then we're moving over to the table to talk about the news and why it matters. I can't wait to spend an hour with Dave Rubin. Tonight, 5 o'clock, he's in town for a show that he is doing with Justin Peterson.
Or Jordan Peterson,
or Jordan,
his brother.
Why do I keep calling him Justin?
I don't know. Jordan, no one knows why you do the things you do.
I have a disease, okay?
Dave Rubin, today, only on The Blaze at 5 p.m. And again at 5:30 on the news and why it matters. Okay. Pat is joining us, and he claims that he has a pretty compelling...
I have a new obsession, yeah.
Do you?
I do. It's the RFK shooting. Were you aware that there was a big controversy over that, just as over his brother JFK? That there were two shooters?
Wait a minute. Damn it. Where was Rafael Cruz?
Great
was
point.
Nobody knows. Was he at the Ambassador Hotel?
He does not have an alibi.
He does not. I bet you he's not even on record answering that question.
No, he's not.
He's not. All right. So there's a controversy that I've never heard of.
So we back in the 60s, what a terrible. I mean, first of all, where was security on any of these shootings? JFK is killed in 63, MLK in 68. 2 months later, RFK is killed. And how do you just walk into a hotel room and wait for the guy to pass you by? And you're asking people, hey, is RFK walking through this area? Yep. Okay. I'm just going to stay here and wait to shoot him. Hoping nobody minds.
Legitimately what he did.
He literally stood there and waited for the procession for him to get done with the speech
now,
and come walking through the
this
area.
This is Sirhan Sirhan, who is a Palestinian, was upset about the establishment of Israel, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so shot RFK.
Supposedly.
What?
But.
He's already been tried.
He's been in prison for 50 years.
Yes, right.
And.
So what is the theory?
So RFK was shot 4 times, I believe, from behind. Sirhan Sirhan was in front of him. How did that happen?
Bum, bum, bum.
Sirhan Sirhan had
in
an
tree. Behind him.
In a tree. In the kitchen.
Inside
the
hotel.
There was a kitchen grassy knoll up there in the kitchen.
So he also had an 8-shot gun. He was holding a gun that fired only 8 bullets. 13 bullets were supposedly fired, according to a ballistics expert. And he was shot in the back of the ear at close range. And there were powder marks on his jacket and on his skin. And so, I mean, he was shot from close up.
Okay, where are you getting this?
The freaking Washington Post is where he's getting it from.
Yeah.
The Washington Post.
JFK or RFK Jr. Last Christmas went to the prison where Sirhan Sirhan has been for 50 years and spoke to him for 3 hours and came away thinking he's not the person that shot his dad.
He's crazy, though.
He is. It must be mentioned that RFK Jr. is crazy.
Yeah. He believes in pretty much every conspiracy theory.
Yes. Including this one, which is kind of compelling the way they lay it out.
Did you read this, or have you,
I read it in the Post. And I mean,
it's really lengthy and thorough. And by the way, I mean, they would never give this treatment to an Alex Jones conspiracy theory.
Not in a million years.
Right? Like, I mean,
No, wait a minute.
Right.
They didn't give it to the theory of the caliphate.
Right.
Yeah.
They still go to Alex Jones. Right. They didn't give it to the caliphate.
Yeah. I mean, and this is a bonkers conspiracy theory. However, there are actually people involved in it that believe it's true.
So who do they think did it?
They don't know. they don't have any idea. And the thought was in the article that maybe Sirhan Sirhan had been hypnotized and,
and
was just used as a fall guy.
And like,
but they don't postulate who it might have been, who the other shooter was, who's responsible for this.
There's no theory.
Who was the big magician at the time, and where was he?
Raphael Cruz
could have been Raphael Cruz. Right. I don't know.
I just assume it's always Raphael Cruz.
Ben, yeah. I don't even know. I'm trying to find old magicians from that era. Maybe Mark Wilson. I don't know. Doug Henning. He was a little young, but he was Canadian, so
that sounds right.
He didn't have necessarily a motive, but that's what you'd be looking
for. Tiny Tim, where was he this day?
I don't know. He was a magician, but
still,
where was he? He was weird.
And capable of killing someone,
weird.
I think.
Right.
Yeah.
The theory, by the way, does not seem to be that Sirhan Sirhan didn't do anything.
Right. He did. Like, they think he shot the other three people.
So it's not like he should be out of jail.
Right.
That's what I thought was interesting. Right. It's like the theory is not like, oh, he was completely innocent.
And does he say he did those three?
He actually says he shot RFK, but he doesn't remember doing it. He admitted to the crime, but he from the very beginning, he has said he doesn't remember doing it. He just must have done it because he was there and he had the gun and he was tackled by several people, including Rosie Greer of the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And he's the one who tore the gun out of his hand. So it's a strange case. And yeah, you're right. Sirhan Sirhan should be in prison. Because there's a lot of evidence that he hated RFK.
Yeah.
And he wrote down on a piece of paper that he needs to die.
Right, he's holding the piece. I think it might have been on him.
Yeah. So they go through this whole compelling case, and like they had me completely believing it. And then at the end, they said, "Well, there's another ballistics guy who says the other ballistics guy is wrong. There are only eight shots."
Yeah,
and here's how it could have happened: that he was shot from behind, but Sirhan Sirhan was in front of him. The first shot hit his aide, Paul Schrady. And Paul Schrady fell into RFK, and RFK turned around. And when he turned around, the force of the people pushing lunged Sirhan Sirhan toward him, and he just shot
that
him
makes
when he
total
turned around.
Sense.
It does make total
it
sense.
It seems like it's a lot of waste of ink and a tree.
Because, again, they're like, well, if he got shot, if he heard the first shot, what would you do? You would turn to protect yourself, like you instinctively turn away, right? And so that would explain why the shots came from the back.
And his dying words were, the last words he ever spoke were, "Is everybody okay? Is Paul all right?" And now Paul was the aide that got shot. So how did he know Paul got shot?
Oh. Was he talking about Paul? Or was he thinking he
Paul
was John
McCartney.
Lennon?
Was he, yeah.
And you know what I mean? And it was...
Wow, Glenn, too
he
soon.
Was,
too
is
soon
Paul dead?
He was seeing the future. Is Paul okay?
And that was the same time frame, 1968, when everybody was saying Paul's dead.
Right.
So.
And Lennon was killed just a short time later.
Just a mere 12 years later.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was... They were right.
Right.
I mean, in the grand scheme of time... Right on top of each other.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yes.
It's interesting.
So did you come away completely disbelieving that there was another shooter? Or do you still have some... Because I came away thinking, I don't know.
There was more to that.
I
had never heard the theory
before. What are you asking him for? What do you think he's going to say?
I don't believe
anything. He's a little black rain cloud on everything.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certain things. I'm rereading Carl Sagan's book, Demon Haunted World. And he's talking about the beginning. He goes to an airport and he's being picked up by a guy. And he says, that sounded bad. He was being picked up by a driver.
Oh.
And at the airport. And the driver comes up to him, has no idea that it's Carl Sagan. And he says, so can I ask you a question? Is it really tough your whole life, people coming up to you and thinking you're the science guy? And Carl Sagan's like, what? I am the science guy. And he's like, oh, sorry. I only know your name. I didn't know what you looked like. And he said, I just thought you had my problem. Hi, I'm William F. Buckley. Okay. Not the William F. Buckley. He was just a driver named William F. Buckley. So they kind of hit it off. They get into the car and they start talking. And he says, hey, can I ask you some scientific questions? None of them were scientific questions. It was about the Shroud of Turin and it was about Atlantis and it was all of these things. And Carl Sagan, you know, he's making another point, but in it he says, you know, I was crushing this guy. I was crushing this guy. He was very well read just on stupid things. Mm-hmm. And I was crushing him. And as I was listening, I thought, you know, I kind of like the Atlantis story. You kind of want, mm-hmm. and I think this is kind of what we're going through right now politically. You kind of want some of these things to be true. So you're not really looking into it. The JFK or RFK thing, I believe Sirhan Sirhan did, but I'm going to read that story now because you kind of like going there.
Yeah.
What is that about?
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't know
what is that about us.
Yeah, I don't know. It's because you thought it was one way your whole life, and then you suddenly find out something completely different where I'd never even heard the controversy about it.
Yeah. You know, pretty extensively about that was Cass Sunstein, because he, I believe, was using it for somewhat nefarious purposes.
No.
But that mind, that there's a mindset that human beings, you know, will follow. They'll follow a storyline because they want it. It provides some way of a less chaotic view of the world. It almost gives you security because, okay, there's this crazy thing that's happening and at least there's an explanation that I can understand and I can feel comfortable with it rather than there's these chaotic things that happen that are beyond
exactly
our control.
How Sagan describes it.
Really?
Yeah. He says that, that humans have an innate ability to make connections even when connections aren't there. But it helps them explain things that are sometimes unexplainable. And so you can't explain this. So, but you see this happen and then this happened before it and then this happened after. And so it's just easier for you to go, oh, those three things are tied together, even though they're not. It just helps you navigate the world. And we haven't, unfortunately, we're living in a world that is giving us all of these fake dots that we're all connecting.
Yeah, there's a book called The Thinking Fast and Slow.
Yeah.
That talks about this and you get this, our brains want to do it. And unless you can identify what your brain is doing to you, essentially, is kind of the way of thinking about it. You can't stop it. You'll go down these roads. And I think, you know, the Alex Jones is the extreme example, right? Where there are no flags, there are only false flags, right? Like every single thing is a conspiracy. I think naturally like it. Like there's something that's soothing to us to follow these conspiracies.
And it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It's actually,
it would be much worse, right?
Yeah,
like one crazy person who has an agenda against, you know, a presidential candidate and goes and shoots him should be much more like calming to us rather than making it worse.
Have you seen the latest video that has come out from the government on the UFOs off the coast of San Diego? It's like 2012, I think, and it just came out.
With the fighter pilots talking back and forth? Or?
With the two fighter pilots, and they're seeing the disc.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that not incredible?
Yeah, it is.
There's this disc, and it goes from 60,000 feet to 500 feet in seconds, and it stops, and it will move. Then they say it was going to something under the water, which was really huge, like the size of 3 football fields. Now, there's no explanation for it, but it's probably not illegals. It's probably not UFOs. You know, it's not space people. Probably might be, but somehow or another, we're fascinated by that, and we're comforted that we're not alone. But I'm telling you, if real spaceships showed up, we'd all be freaking out.
Pat, before you go, what scale of 1 to 10? How much do you believe the RFK conspiracy theory?
That's fair. Five.
A five?
Yeah, yeah, maybe a five.
I think I hit a two or a three at least in that. There were moments where I was like, huh,
I know.
Wait a minute.
I want to read it. Let's present it on the air tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll come back. All right, thanks, Pat. Pat's going to be on the Pat Garay Radio Extravaganza Roundup. And today, I believe, today's All Dancing
Yeah, Pat will Wednesday, be dancing right? throughout every segment today. So.
Really amazing.
You have to have a Blaze TV subscription, though, to see it.
Right, but you can listen to it.
You can listen to it either way.
Okay.
It's a little winded only about about minute two.
Only the second minute?
Yeah, minute. Yeah, it's a long show.
Yeah.
Because he's really a lot of heavy breathing. Okay. But maybe you like that kind of thing.
All right. Anyway, let me tell you about Fannie Mae and their latest housing report. April was a big month for homeowners. It found that consumer confidence in housing jumped to its highest level on record. Those who think that home prices are going to move even higher rose the most, and those who think that now is a good time to sell came in second. That's me. The gloom and doom of the housing market is greatly exaggerated. I believe now is the time to make your move. Now is the time, especially if other things happen in the economy. Sell now. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. This is something that we started years ago. We have over 1,000 agents all over America who are just like you. They have the same values, the same principles, but they're in your area and they are the best at selling homes in your area. They've been handpicked and fully vetted for their knowledge, their skill, and their track record. And they're going to make things so easy for you. Whether you're buying a house, selling a house, you're selling a house because your parents are, having to move with you or whatever it is, they'll help you. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Sell your home for the most money and the fastest way. It is RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. There's something that we need to spend some time on tomorrow, and that is Puerto Rico. You know, we have, 64 or 67 official deaths?
64.
64 deaths in Puerto Rico. They've done a new study. They don't believe that that number is accurate. That number instead is
4,645, which, remember, Katrina was 1,833. 1,833 people died in Katrina. 4,645 is their current estimate. This is from a study from New England Journal of Medicine and Harvard.
Three times the casualty of Katrina.
Yeah.
Three times. And it's
almost,
an American territory.
Yeah, and it's their methodology is a little imprecise. Like, they're just trying to do the best they can. It's not like they counted funerals, right? Like, it's based on surveys and excess deaths. So they don't know that that's the exact number. But they do pretty confidently know it's a lot higher than 64. The government is in the middle of a review on it, and at some point they will have an official number. But this is one of the biggest natural disasters in American history.
And we really didn't pay attention to it. When it happened, it really got very little attention.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.